Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 19. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. I would like for you to take your Bibles, if you would, please go with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 19. This is one of those passages that is supposed to be ever set before us. It is the hope that draws us forward. When the world is coming unglued, we have a blessed hope. And it's going to be a good day when all things are realized as they are set forth in the Scriptures. The world is coming unglued at so many levels, whether it's school shootings, whether it is the government that seems to not have a clue about how to get along, whether it's the nations of the world that are in constant states of flux. I find it fascinating. I don't know, but that you may have read this, and I did not know this, so let me tell you about it. I understand that right now in the Ring of Fire, there are like 25 active volcanoes that are starting to rumble. 25 right now that have people fearful and have people on the edge of their seats. Five in California alone, along the San Andreas, are at very high alert, and another five are at high alert. That's just in California. There is a huge volcano down around Japan that they've just recently discovered, and it's one of those nation killers, like what we have with Yellowstone National Park. What I'm saying to you is 25, Ring of Fire, Pacific Coast and on around, and the one in Indonesia went off this past week. You may have read about that one. And it had a lot of people on the run. We are looking at a time of great tension and concern, and people are wondering what in the world is going on. And I find it interesting to note that when you look at the Olympics, you find a lot of nonsense being echoed in the masses of people. How many of you heard about the guy who went out on the ice this past week? He was an older guy, and he was not a skater. He was a big-bellied guy, and all he had on was a tutu. I'm not kidding you. No top to this tutu. He's just standing out there. This is a weird world. Do you know what they used to talk about is coming to pass, right? The inmates are in charge of the asylum. It's becoming a problem, isn't it? I remember this elderly lady whose husband had to go into the city. She was really worried about her husband, as she always was when he went into the city. You know, traffic's pretty bad. And she's listening to the radio, minding her own business, and all of a sudden she hears a bulletin come over the radio saying that there's a real crisis in town that he was going to. The crisis was that somebody was going the wrong way on a one-way freeway. And so she got on the phone and said, "Honey, you need to be careful. There's some people out there driving crazy." She says, "There's a person driving the wrong way on a one-way road." And he said, "I can't talk right now. There's about 100 of them, actually." So that just helps you with all of the drama. Do you know the Bible says, "Fear not," and yet we have a lot of weirdness going on in our world. This is not to be unexpected. God wanted us to know that this was going to be true. And so when you're looking at the passage before us in Revelation 19, I want you to realize something. It's all going to work out. Aren't you glad when somebody can tell you that? Something's going sideways in your world and they can look at you and they can honestly say it's going to work out. God says to you and me, it's going to work out. I've entitled the message today, Heavenly Shouts. We're not going to get to the breaking of the sky today in this passage because there's so much here that I thought you and I would profit from. We have seen the book of Revelation laid before us in a way that the Lord, by His Holy Spirit, has set it forth with a proper outline of the whole book. The outline is given to us in chapter 1, verse 19. John was told, write the things which you've seen. And that meant, write about what you've just seen. You've seen the glorified Christ. You've seen Him wearing the robes of a high priest in the midst of candlesticks. And He has all of the attributes present in His visage that reminds us who He is. In fact, in chapter 1, verse 8, He said, "I am the Almighty." So if there's any question about who Jesus is, chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus makes it clear. He says, "I'm the Almighty." John was told, write the things which you've seen. Write about this. And then he was told, write the things which are. And that's chapters 2 and 3, which are the seven churches, which really catalog for us the continuum we can expect to unfold in the church age. It's so cool to see that God knows what's going on. You know, if somebody's telling the story and they're your friend, they're probably going to write you in a good place. And Jesus is our friend when we know Him as our Savior. And we know that we're in a good place in this whole narrative. Chapters 2 and 3 talk about the churches as they will unfold. It started out with the Apostolic First Love Church, and it ends with the Laodicean Apostate Church. So we have the Apostolic Church giving way to the Apostate Church. It wears out its influence as time goes on. There have been great moments in church history that we could rejoice in. The Church of Philadelphia was a great time. We liken that to the times of the Great Awakenings. We just watched a giant go home to be with the Lord this past week. Dr. Billy Graham passed into eternity, into his heavenly reward. I used to hear a preacher years ago. His name was B.R. Lakin. He was an old-time preacher. And he used to give a rendition that really sat vividly upon my mind. He was a very elderly man when I heard him. It was just prior to his passing as well. But he would talk about how when he would lay down all of his burdens and take his sword and hang it on the shimmering walls of glory and turn and look at his Savior and he would be home. I just like, yeah, that's what we look for. And when we see Dr. Billy Graham and the way God used him, and with all of those things that people have said in all the sides of his experience, what a man, what a giant in the faith, and how God used him. How God used him. Do you know that's, I believe, what we might call the end of an era. With all of the media that hit about the time he was in his early ministry, somehow God animated his mind and his ideas and how he would look at things, and he was able to reach untold millions of people in live expositions of the Scriptures. The end of an era. So what I'm saying is, 2 and 3, apostate church, do you think we might be getting there where the church has fallen away from the true standard of God's Word? I think we are. It's up to anybody's opinion about what's right and wrong today. It is whatever one wants it to be. The Bible tells us in Timothy's letter, it says that in the last days, men will heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, not willing to endure sound doctrine. I think we're living in that day. Whatever your variety of Christendom, there will be one that will fit you. The problem is, it's not all churches are really the church. Okay, Jesus has a bride, and His bride has her marching orders set forth in His Word. But that gives us the first two sections. He said, write the things which you've seen, the things which are, the church. And He says, and the things which shall be hereafter. Chapter 4, it says, come up hither. John was caught up into glory. And at that point, we see a picture of the church being raptured. The church is never mentioned again until we get to chapter 19. It will be mentioned in this chapter. So we don't see it in the midst of the tribulation, because the tribulation is a time for Israel to get all of her wrongs made right. Isn't that amazing to think about? But here's the thing. When you see this unfolding of the tribulation, we saw that there were so many things that happened in breakneck speed. Some of the things that happened involved, of course, the unfolding of the seal judgments, 7 in number. The 7th seal gave way to the 7 trumpet judgments. God is not squeamish. He will deal with the world decidedly. And when I tell you about all of those volcanoes that are in the state of flux right now, I'm telling you that all of the things that we saw in our last two messages on the book of Revelation about smoke and about cities and about ruins and about how God is going to make this world something more in keeping with what He had in mind in the first place for 1,000 years, all of those things are like the lining up of all the little soldiers getting into their places. You see, the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day they utter their speech. There is no language in which their voice is not heard. And so it is with nature. The Bible says the whole earth is full of His glory. And when you see what's happening on the landscape of the natural world in which we live, we can't help but say God is awesome. He has it all in the palm of His hands. And so what I'm saying to you is that we've seen a lot of things arranging themselves. We've seen 7 seals, 7 trumpets, and then in chapter 16, 7 bowl judgments, which is the vials of the wrath of God being poured out because God is getting ready to take the world back. We're living at a time where the world's almost outlived its usefulness. The church certainly has lost her way. And so what we're looking at in our passage today is the inevitable end to the program. We're kind of in a parenthesis here, and the Bible tells us in verse 1 of chapter 19 that after these things, and you have to, what things? You see, the context is being begged, isn't it? Well, after these things, he's talking about the judgment of the great whore, it says in chapter 17, the mother of harlots, this false church is what it is. Jesus has the bride, which is his church. Satan has his counterfeit, which is the false church. She's not just a harlot. She is the mother of harlots. We saw her finding her moorings back in the book of Genesis in chapter 11, where the Tower of Babel was built. And Nimrod had a wife named Semiramis, and she said she had a son named Tammuz that was born miraculously, that was killed by a wild boar and then resurrected. It was like a false gospel all the way back in chapter 11 of the book of Revelation. And we saw that her wickedness that she put into motion back then had been perpetuated throughout human history. We even see God invading history in the book of Daniel when it talks about the king, Nebuchadnezzar, who's having this dream, a golden head, silver chest and arms, brass thighs, and then iron legs and toes, iron mixed with clay, and how it was top heavy. And he said to Nebuchadnezzar, this is what's going to happen from here on out. You need to know Babylon is the golden head. And Babylon was going to be perpetuated in spirit throughout the next four kingdoms. You and I are living in the wake of all of that. We know that the head of gold, he told him, was Babylon itself. We know that the arms and the chest was silver. That was the Medes and the Persians. They were strong. We know that the thighs of brass, that was emblematic of Alexander the Great and the great Grecian kingdom. These were all imperialistic empires. And then we know that after that, it gave way to the Roman Empire, which were the legs of iron. Guys, this is huge that God would tell us this stuff in such specificity. You and I then find that there's not only iron legs, but then there's feet of iron mixed with clay and has 10 toes, and then he gives us the whole narrative of what those toes were. They were 10 kings that would come back from the Roman Empire that had gone off the scene. It went off a long time ago, but it's coming back more and more all the time. Europe's landmass is really the landmass of the ancient Roman Empire, and they're constantly trying to get all their pieces lined up so all the puzzle pieces just fall into the right spot. And it's just a hop, skip, and a jump. They almost had it. Globalism was almost re-energized during the last election. But we have a president in these United States who now doesn't say, I want to be a globalist, I want to be a nationalist. And he's kind of pushed it back. We've been given a reprieve, not a revival. We know that. Jesus is coming again. It's getting down to it. And so the after these things, chapter 17 and 18, talk about this destruction of Babylon, a spirit that was birthed back in chapter 11 of Genesis that has been here ever since, that has spawned not only false religious systems, but also an opulent political system, because chapter 18 talks about all the political consequences of Babylon being what it was. When God said, spread out and subdue the earth and fill the earth, Nimrod said, let's come together. And ever since that time, we've had these two kingdoms, the kingdom of Babylon and the kingdom of God. They've been concurrent, but the people of God have forgotten that they're just living in Babylon. They're not of Babylon. We need to not get so caught up in the drama of all the opulence. You see, the devil even offered Jesus all the glory of all the kingdoms if he would bow down and worship him. And he gets people to think they're kings in their own right. And he gives them what they want. Just a little bit. Just enough. He hates the pleasure of it, but he loves the future of it. Because people who get caught up in the milieu of this world will one day find themselves lost for eternity. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.